In the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 48, I'm going to be just as honest with you as I know to be. I have put time in reading and writing on this sermon, and I've tried my best to shake it from tonight, because I wanted to prepare and add more to it. But I can't. I even, in my foolishness, wrote notes on a different topic. And I can't get away from it. And so I don't know nothing else to do but quit fighting and yield. Amen. I want you to help me. I pray that every heart and mind in this building is in the same place it needs to be for the working of the hand of God. A lot of our people is not here tonight. God knows all about it. But you that are here, how about let's put in our shoulder to the wheel and push. And let's see what the Lord will do for us here tonight. I want you to read with me in Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 28. When you found your place, say amen. O ye that dwell in Moab, leave the cities. Dwell in the rock. And be like the dove that maketh her nest in the sides of the hole's mouth. O ye that dwell in Moab, leave the cities. And dwell in the rock, and be like the dove that maketh her nest in the sides of the hole's mouth. Verse 43. Let me back up to 42. And Moab shall be destroyed from being a people, because he hath magnified himself against the Lord. Fear and the pit and the snare shall be upon thee, O inhabitant of Moab, saith the Lord. For he that fleeth from the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that getteth out of the pit shall be taken in a snare, in the snare. For I will bring it upon it, even upon Moab, the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. Fear and the pit and the snare shall be upon thee. He that fleeth from fear shall fall into the pit, and he that getteth up out of the pit shall be taken in the snare. O ye that dwell in Moab, leave the cities and dwell in the rock, and be like the dove that maketh her nest in the sides of the hole's mouth. You've got to help me. I want to preach tonight on the dove experience. I want to preach on the dove experience. Would you stretch your hands this way and ask the Lord to help us now? Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you tonight. I love you. I'm asking for your help. I'm asking for the Spirit of God to move and to stir us and to help us in this service tonight. God, move in this meeting and touch our hearts. Stir our souls. I would have had a praying church right here. I'd like for God to get in the arrangements of this meeting. I know the devil would love to fight it. He'd love to scatter it. He'd love to do a whole lot to it. But I know God is able to help us. Hallelujah. Help us tonight, I pray. Hallelujah. Out of all of the birds in the world, the dove is considered to be the most precious and sacred bird there is. Nothing is more representing to gentleness, cleanliness, and gentle peace as the nature of the dove. Nothing in all the world is more beautiful to see than it is to see a beautiful dove in its glory and to see it fly in its majesticness of its little 12-inch body and how much attention that one dove has to itself. Stay with me. There is something that I feel in my heart that I felt the Holy Ghost deal with me the other night when I had checked out of the hospital. It was Monday night and I was at the house and sitting there. I had been down here at the church about 10-something praying and reading. And I went back to the house about midnight, 11:30, and I went to bed, and I ain't no more laid down, and I felt the Lord deal with me to get back up. And I stayed up till somewhere close to 3 o'clock, and God began to deal with my heart and pin this into my spirit. And I can tell by the crowd that I have tonight, we're not a praying church tonight as we need to be. But I feel like God dealt with me concerning the nature of the dove. The dove is known for its gentleness. It is known for its meekness. It's known for its delicateness. It's known for how much filth and evil and the communications of the untamed that it does not associate with. It is something that is so hard for us to grasp a hold of. But for some reason or another, the dove is able to literally walk into the most muddy and filth of water and yet fly out of the midst of it completely clean. Because the nature of that dove and the body of that dove, the body itself puts out an oil inside the feathers of that dove that regardless what it is around, filth cannot lay on the dove. Filth cannot be even attached to it. It can walk through some of the most vile and wicked places of filth that there was, but when you watch that dove and it begins to spring out and it begins to fly off, it's almost as though the dirt and the filth that it was walking in, it flies away from it and it begins to release itself from the dove. Amen. I know it's not well said, and I know that you're probably wondering where I'm headed and what all of this has to deal with, but I felt in my heart that God spoke to my spirit, and He said that there is a nature that they need, and there is something that they must grab a hold of. And there's so many of us, we could get around some things, and we could get around some people, and we're easily attached unto what is around us and what we become just like. You can get around a liar, and if you do not have the nature of the dove, you'll pick up lying just like them. If you get around somebody who has got down to the place where they themselves are filthy mouth and lie and talk about others, it'll jump on you, and then before you know it, it attaches to yourself. But it's the nature of the dove that it can get right
down in the midst of it and stay untouched, unpainted by the filth. I tell you, that is what we need in our generation. It's an experience like the dove has, that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We may have to live here. We may have to walk here. We may have to breathe here, but we are not of this world. I want to tell you tonight, we need a dove experience. We need a cleansing oil to get a hold of us and to wash the filth in the mind out of our lives and out of our souls until we're clean once again.
Amen. I can tell that there is something that's missing here. And you know, the Word of God teaches us that in David's writing concerning the doves, he tells, Perry Weber wrote a book called Doves in the Dust. But in one chapter in that book, he begins to talk about the nature of a dove. And it's been many years since I've read it, but he did say one thing that I remember. He said, though the dove itself may be among the pot and the clay pot and the broken pot, there is nothing in all the world, regardless of the filth and regardless of the shame, can diminish the nature of the dove. It cannot take it away. It's an inbred in it. It may be in the filth, but it detests the filth. It doesn't like the filth. Oh, that God would help us as a church get back to the place where we realize we are in this world, but we're not to be friends with it. We're not to love it. We're not to like it. We are to be separate from this world.
You see, the dove, by nature, I want you to stay here a minute. The dove, by nature, is in cleanliness. It is such a way concerning the dove that when she begins to deal with filth, she will literally pick herself and rub herself until she rubs the filth off of her. Thank God. I'm trying to ignore this sound system that's roaring, so I can just preach and do what I feel like I need to do, because I know if it's bothering me, it's sure got to be bothering you. But Lord, help me with it. I want you to know something tonight. We are in a generation where bitterness gets a hold of our hearts and gets a hold of our lives, and we don't even bother trying to get it out, get it off, or get away from it. Oh, come on here now. I was riding down the road the other day, and I jotted this down when the Lord spoke it to me. He said, bitterness, it will take the tears out of your eyes. It'll put a stone heart in you. It'll drive you away from peace and into chaos. But only the nature of the dove clings to the cleft of the rock. I wonder why David said, when he told the Lord, I'll come on here now, hang me in the cleft of the rock. Do you understand when he said cleft? It wasn't something low dragging under the ground. He said, take me to the height. But take me to the hiding place. But take me to the place where evil is not able to touch me.
Our hands are full. Help me. Our hands are so full of things that we want until we fight and scratch to have. But it is the spirit and it is the nature of the dove that it wants to get away from evil. One writer said, when I read it, behind the nature of the dove, stay here just a minute. He said, when evil was luring near unto a dove, the dove's nature is immediately to find a place to hide. Amen. Oh, come on now. When David said, when my heart is overwhelmed in me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen.
I'll ask the church a question. Where's the last place you ran to when you was in trouble, when your body was sick, and when your mind was in turmoil, and you was in chaos? I'm going to ask you, did you find a rock, or did you find a hole in the ground? Thank God, and lose sight of Calvary, and lose sight of Jesus, and lose sight of the blood. Or did you run like every other bird? Or did you have a dumb nature, and let you run to the rock of ages?
The spirit and the nature of the dove is the separation from the field. And you'll hear that quite often in this sermon tonight, because there is a conveying message that it is impossible for you to have a dove's body and a dove look and an old blackbird nature. Come on here. It's impossible for you, come on here now, to have a dove's body and a dove's look and have a blackbird heart. Oh, come on here now. Let me talk to you just a minute. You know the reason why I say that. A blackbird will feast on anything and everything. A dove is delicate in its eating. It chooses only the living. It never feasts off the dead. Oh, come on now. There's some of us in this building. We ain't ate a good meal from God in a long time. But give us a table of gossip. Give us a table of bitterness. Give us a table of hurt. Give us a table of slothfulness. Give us a table of unconcern. And we'll dive in it. And we'll eat. It's because inside of us it's an old blackbird heart. We need a transformation of a heart and of a life. Not just in our look, but in our living.
You see, the dove will refuse filth. While the old bird, the old blackbird, will circle the filth and think about it, the dove is not even attracted by the appalling stink of filth. You ain't gonna get this. I can tell by what I'm preaching. And I can tell by your response that you ain't getting it. You think you're just in some kind of class of science that's dealing with some little bird. But you listen to me. There is a correlation here from the reading of God's word unto the very present day that he pulls from both sides of nature and of heaven. And the only thing he can describe inside of the earth that picks up the nature of heaven is the nature of a dove. Oh, great God, I'd like to have a dove experience that when God looks at me, he's willing to send a message out of heaven on the wings of a dove.
When the Lord spoke and he said, be like the dove. Jeremiah weeping for the fall of his people, weeping for the idolatry and the filth and the sin. He begins to look in the falling of Moab. Out of all the reading of God's word, Bible readers, perk your ears up. I was literally took to school by the hand of God in prayer and in study. Moab, he said, is my washpot. God is against Moab. He hates Moab. Are you hearing me? When God got ready to drown out any form of filth and rot, he dumped it over into Moab. Why? Because Moab, I read it to you, has exalted himself against God. He's above reproof. He's above being dealt with. He
It's about being called. It's about being told anything. And so God leads Moab unto his own destruction. But while in the middle of destruction, I hear a weeping preacher. He said, anybody living in Moab, if you can find the nature of a dove, get out of there. I want to preach to you tonight. You need a dove experience. You need to come out of Moab where the mercy and the goodness of God is able to put you in the cleft of the rock.
Right here, look at this way. When it looks at Moab for years, I've always put a black ribbon over Moab's door and said, you can't never be saved. You can't never be right. You can't never be born again. You're filth, you're rot. Moab is God's washpot. But oh, I love what I read the other night about 2 o'clock in the morning when I got to reading in that homiletic commentary set. It had 2 little sentences. One man made the statement. He said, I'd rather be God's outcast than I had to be the world's favorite, because there ain't nobody but God that can redeem the outcast. I want to tell you something. There's no salvation in the world. There's no love in the world. It's the freeze of box religion. Are you hearing me in this house? It's midnight with no promise of a sunshine. It's the doom of Moab. But there's a cry out of the heart of a preacher. Be back to God. Run for your life. Get away from the cities of Moab.
I see Moab as a place where God dumps his anger. But I also see Moab as a place where God has got some of you from. I know you don't want to shout. You know the reason we're right here? We were like doves. We escaped. We took the message. When the judgment call came, we took the message and we ran for the rocks. Hey, I feel the Holy Ghost to preach. When the message came, be known unto you, fear and the pit and the snare. Why you say, preacher, I don't want to fall out of fear with God. I don't want to fall into a pit and I don't want to get caught in a snare. That's the reason I took the dove and ran unto the cross.
There is nothing no more cleaner by the birds in nature and in character of a bird than that of the appearance of the dove. Although the word of God from Noah's day unto the day of the descending of the dove on the blessed Son of God, God in his divine providence chose to use the spirit and the nature of a dove. I would to God I had time to preach what all I want to preach, but I've got to hurry here. Why was it that the message came when Noah sent out the birds? And they didn't never return, because there's some folks you can send out and they'll wander and die wandering. You didn't get that, did you? There's some things you can send out and they'll die wandering out there. And they'll never ever, help me here, never return, never come home, never come back. But when it was on that day when Noah felt like, surely this is a day of mercy, this is a day in which the Lord has made, he didn't just reach over and grab any old bird. He grabbed a bird that had a nature that it could return with a message. I'll ask a question in this house to my preachers and into my teachers. What kind of nature you got? Is it a dumb nature with a message? Or is it just an old bird? You flounder and wander. You go where you like to do what you like. But God, give me the spirit of that dove that falls under the command of a master. And when he says go, he goes. And when he says return, return.
I can see. Help me, Lord. It was no ordinary bird that flew from the ark that day. It wasn't just a bird to be saying, Noah sent out a bird. But it was a bird that he sent. Because you see, when old birds went out, then it came back with just a piece of old rotten flesh. Because that was their nature, to feed on the dead. Sinner, backslider, deceived. Do you know the reason why you can't come back and you don't see a way to get back? It's because you're flying too much over the dead stuff and not enough over the live. When I look and I see nothing but deadness, that's all I preach, that's all I sing, that's all I shout, that's all I talk about. Come on here now. But oh, when that bird left out, good God, help Noah preach Jesus. When that bird left out of Noah's ark, its mission was not to find something laying on a rock dead and dried up a piece of fish. Its mission was, if I can find a leaf, if I can find something that's got a little life in it. And when he came back and he had the twig in his mouth, the first message to the new world was, there is life. There is a new beginning. The God sent the message. The God sent life. The curse has been broken. Life has become anew. Hope has become new. The mercy of God has been restored. And you can live again.
So, when Noah pulled that dove in, and he saw in that mouth of that dove that twig, he said, God is faithful in his promise. That when he said, I will curse it, but only... You didn't hear what I just said. Some of you are trying to do your best not to pay attention. Hear me! I'd rather be on God's outcast list than I had to be on the world's favorite list. Because you see, we were cast out. We were done away with. That's all, Brother Billy. That's it. We were no good for nothing. But the dove brought a message when he came back to old Noah. And he said, hey, life is fixing to begin again. Hope has become brand new all over again. I want you to ask yourself a question. If the bird, when it came back with some piece of rotten flesh, you know exactly what every man would do. They would literally fall into despair and feel there was no hope. But when Noah took the dove back into his hand and he pulled the twig out of his mouth. He turned to the rest of the family and said, there is hope that we can live after the greatest curse, after the greatest disaster. I want you to know, sin may have blacked your eyes and bruised up your mind and stung by your conscience and scarred your name, but I want you to know there is a message that God sent me to give, and that is, you need a job experience. You can get a new heart. You can get a new life. You can get another name. You can get your hope back. You can get your fire back. You can get your zeal back. Why? Because life begins at the message of God. Somebody ought to pray. Come on here. It's a dead Wednesday night for such a message that God wants to give life unto the dying. When Jeremiah said, O ye that dwell in Moab, that was a universal call for a universal salvation. The whole world. Jesus, why are you here? I come to seek and to save that which was lost. Boys, go tell everybody I'm preaching something different. That's fine. But it's in your Bible. I've always put a black ribbon on Moab. I want you to know, through about 2:30 in the morning on my face, God said, I can still save even in Moab. I can still save even in the country of Moab. What is the message? Get out, run for your life. I want you to know, you got to have that desire to break free and to run free. It can't be bought by a plea bargain. It's bought by surrender. It's bought by dedication. It's bought by saying yes unto a new heart. Help me, Jesus. Not only does the message and the nature of the dove depict the nature of heaven, but it embodies the complete nature of the Son of God. When John looked and he began to baptize Jesus, and the Bible said, that a voice was heard from out of heaven. It said, this is my beloved Son, and who I'm well pleased. Let me tell you this. Before the voice, there was the dove. Men saw the Spirit as a dove before they ever heard the voice. You ain't hearing me. Why was it that God, from the beginning, I ain't got time to go through it, dealt with the nature of the dove in the Word of God, and He told us to be as harmless as what? You always want to fight? Argue? Fuss? And be cantankerous? Stubborn against the will of God, against the reproof of God. He said, be like doves. Be like doves. I read one time, Brother Woody, in a commentary, and I must hurry, come to the piano. I read in a commentary concerning the nature of the dove. They said that it is an inbred nature inside the dove, that when feeling threatened and evil being near, the dove never looks down, it always flies up. Let me get out here where you can help me. Huh? When trouble hits you, where do you go? Down? Where do you run? When the devil gets to talking to Tina White, do you go down or do you go up? Has the devil ever told you you wasn't saved? I can't tell you how many times he told it to me today. Ever tell you that you just didn't, God didn't love you? Huh? That's the reason why all of this junk's happening to you? Huh? What you called me about yesterday? Was you in the will of God? Sometimes the dove has to walk through some stuff, but the stuff never gets on the dove. You didn't hear me, did you? I said, sometimes the dove's got to walk through some stuff, but the stuff never gets on the dove. Why? Because it's got a nature, and its feathers are off to keep the filth off it. I wonder if that's not why David said, thou anointest my head red off. Thank God Almighty. Let the legal son of a high, let the all of the Holy Ghost run all over me until it gets me away from the contamination and the filth and the rot of this world. Thou anointest my head with oil. Why? Because what I see and hear and what the devil tries to plant, I don't want it to get bruised. So when I have to push myself through a mind battle, I don't want that mind battle sticking to me. What I preach, how I feel. I just don't know if some of y'all are grown enough to take it tonight. Just don't know if you're in a praying place to have it. The reason some of you don't talk in tongues no more and you ain't got no joy in your living, you ain't as anointed as you used to be. Has anybody ever picked up a dove, held a dove? Huh? Take your hand and hold the little body of that dove from its peak, from the very tip of its beak to the end of its tail. It's 12 inches. Its little body's about this wide. Its little brain is about that big. Not much more than a match head. But it's got enough sense. When in trouble, run to the rocks. How big is the human brain? They say it's all about the size of the fist of a man. And we've got enough capability to understand where we need to go in trouble. But we just don't do it. And so these people in Moab, I believe just like some of your family and mine, are caught in guilt of sin. By inbredness of sin in family. And I can hear the old prophet as he cries out, you that dwell in Moab, leave the city. Come on, y'all. Run from it. And you know what he told them? He said, be like the dove. I got to hurry. But they said, when a dove feels threatened by an evil bird, said that dove without sound will run to fly just as straight up as it can. And said, it will literally find a cleft in the highest place. Oh, I love what I feel. Y'all boys don't do this because I'm going to be careful with it. I don't want y'all using this as a stick. But you hear me?
But we run and we hide over here. But he said the old dove, it'll run to the rock that hangs over the edge of the mountain where they know their safety. And the wild beast can't walk out on air and get up there to it. So he said he runs to the cliff of the rock. Ah! I wish I didn't preach how I feel. I feel like that's where you're at. You're caught in a world of sin. You're caught in filth and ungodliness. Say, oh, preacher, everybody knows that's me. That may be true for some, but there's some just as filthy in your heart. Are you hearing me? Hung by habit. What is it? They got a dove look and a blackbird heart. But I want to tell you something in closing of this preaching. The nature of that dove, he'll run to that rock. And they said he'll stay there until evil passes. If it takes him days on end, said the old dove knows how to live on the smallest amount of stuff to stay alive until the evil passes over. I feel the Holy Ghost. Some of you died on me. You attended our church, but you died on me. You died on me. You died on our pew. You died in our worship. You died while we were preaching. Because you ran not to the rock. You ran not to a place of refuge. You kept your look. But you didn't change your heart. But I want to tell you the message of hope is tonight. You can become like a dove. Come, honey. Whoever's singing. I don't want to preach too long. I want you to stand with me all over this house. Where are you at? Are you caught out there on the cliff of something that the wild beast could get you? Are you at a place where the dove can put her trust in the reaching hand of its master and draw it in? I didn't just happen this up. I was praying Monday night in my office, reading. And I didn't know. I'll be honest with you. I had planned all week that if God would let me, I'd preach this Sunday morning. But all day today, I was tossed and driven. I couldn't shake it. And the Lord said, I want to give a dove experience. Don't take the old blackbird heart out. And I want to give it a heart that'll feed on nothing but life. You ain't hearing me, are you? You want to know the paradox of preaching here at this church? I love every one of you. Some of you, my family, I probably won't be able to reach because you can't see past your bloodline. I'm seeing past it, looking at your eternity. Or some of you, I've been pastoring for a long time. And to me, and to you, that's just old Noah. So I'm losing my touch at breaching you. But my message is still born on the wings of a dove. And I'm trying to reach you. And I'm trying to tell you before you get lost in Moab. And before the pit hits you, you're going to run for fear. You hear me? I preached it to the best of my ability and need to do more. But that's what you're going to do. The Holy Ghost said, the days are coming. You're going to run for fear. But you're going to run into a pit. And when you run into that pit, you're going to get out of that pit. But no more than you get out of it, you're going to get caught in a snare. 1, 2, 3. 3 warnings. Right there.
Fear is going to drive you. The pit is going to catch you. And the snare is going to kill you. Can you hear the message in verse 28? Ye that dwell in Moab, leave the cities. Be like the dove who makes her nest in the hole's mouth. Run for help. Run for help. Give me some air. Run for help. Run for help! While the Lord's able to help you, run for help. You say, preacher, I don't feel what I want to feel. It ain't no more what you want to feel. I take the smallest tug and run from Moab as fast as I could and run to life lest I perish. And fear dragged me to a pit. And by mere circumstance and chance, I escaped the pit only to get caught in a snare. He that fleeth from fear shall fall into the pit. And he that getteth out of the pit shall be taken in a snare. For I will bring upon it, even upon Moab, the year of their visitation. Oh, God's divine choice to you tonight to choose you this day whom you serve. Last statement and finished. God may hate Moab. God likes to get every man he can out of Moab. The Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. Sir, ma'am, deceived, lost, backslider. God's angry with you every morning the sun rises because you still live in the city of Moab. But, oh, I ain't got time to preach it. But I will hit it. There is an exit. If you listen to me, this is an important altar service. You hear me? Naomi, you went to Moab, but she got a dove nature about her. And she said, I'm going home. I may have been drugged down here. I didn't want to come down here. I had to come. But now that God has broke every excuse, cut away every chain, destroyed every yoke and every stronghold, Naomi, be like the dove and run for the clefts of the rock. Father, in the name of Jesus, I preach what I felt you give me. Take the inadequateness of myself. Deal with the people. Show them mercy. Reach into our hearts, oh God. Away from Moab. Help us now in Jesus' name. While they play and make music, sing, I don't want a general altar call. If God's dealing with your heart, why don't you step out right now? The fear? The pit? The snare? Don't you listen to me? While she sang softly, won't you look this way? I was sitting in Indiana the other day. I was studying for the service that night. And I'll never forget. On my computer, I have my brother Forrest's funeral pictures that they played. And I set back Larry and pressed them again. My wife was in the evangelist quarter part of where we were staying, laying down. I sat out there and tears just run down my face and dripped on my computer. I watched it twice. You know what I did? I'm working around death. I saw some of the most gruesome sights you could see. But you listen to me. I want you to pay close attention. I dropped my head and I said, God, don't let me get hard being around death until where we're not as scared of dying anymore. So I said, preacher, I ain't afraid of dying. Talk what you want to. I like staying here if the Lord will let me. I enjoy living. And I began to pray, Brother Stanley. And I felt something get down in my heart. And he said, that's where they're at. They've become numb. They can't weep no more. They can't cry no more. The old blackbird nature thinks only of itself. But the old dove realizes its inadequacy. And when in trouble, it runs to the rock. Why are you hard, sir? Why are you hard, young lady? Why are you hard, ma'am? It's because you've never had your nature changed. So when you get it changed, you'll immediately become soft. Don't you look at me. I want you to listen to me. An open hand can do a whole lot more than a clenched fist. Why don't you stick your hand out in His hand? Always fighting against Him? Always bitter about everything and everybody? You can't do nothing. But when you open up that hand, you're saying, God, change me until I'm like You. Make me what You want me to be. Come quickly. Sing it. Come quickly. Right now. I'm fixing to close this out. God's dealing with your heart. I want you to come. Step out in the name of Jesus. I want somebody to help me pray. I've lost my dove experience. I want it back. I've lost that humbleness. I took up on a different nature. I want my dove nature back. Come on here. I'm not moved on as easily as I used to be. I'm ready to get it back. Come, saints of God, stand with your hands raised. Plead with God. God, give us that dove nature. Give us that dove experience. Come on, saints of God. Come on, help us out.